So I'd like to start by asking all of you a couple of questions. How many of you work in an agency or an organization that has the national headquarters or a state-based headquarters, and then it has either branches or chapters or affiliates? So you've got the headquarters in one place, and then you've got multiple sites. Anybody besides Arch of Dimes people? Okay. So it doesn't look like there are too many here, but as you heard from Kelly, that's kind of our structure. I used to work in local public health, and so we would have our state health department, and then several, you know, or maybe even dozens of local health departments. And so as Kelly and Tracy described the efforts that we made to achieve a greater focus, to sort of get everyone moving together and on the same path in the same direction. One of the challenges around that sort of effort in any organization is getting information back and forth from the field to the central office, if you will, and back and forth. And so I want to talk to you about I have no relationships to disclose. I want to talk to you about our efforts to improve that flow of communication through what we call our Electronic Program Information Center. And so I'm not going to focus too much on the technical aspects of this because that's not really our focus today, but I want to talk about some of the our process that we went through and some of the lessons that we learned as we were going through this. And I think that one of the big things that happened when we were bringing strategic mission investment sort of into the forefront of what we do is that we began to realize that our need for information was changing. Okay, we had collected information for quite a long time from the field, but in order to adopt this new approach, we were going to need different types of information than we had had before. Oops. Okay. So, with our structure, then our national office. Of course, we focus on our mission statement that does not change, and through scientific research, through committee opinions by various professional organizations, through laws, regulations, things that are happening in the field, our national leadership takes that input and sets out priorities for our program work. And then our job in the chapter programs department is to translate all of that information into guidance for the field on how what programs we want them to look at and how we want them to proceed with their program work. So our guidance always, as Kelly mentioned, seeks to provide flexibility. But we also are a national organization, and we all want to be about the same work. And so we have to strike that balance in there. And so we have to have some way of getting information back from the field so that we can assess our impact at a national level, so that we can determine whether our guidance is sufficient, whether we can determine whether enough progress on a particular initiative has been achieved and sustained so that perhaps we can adopt a new priority. So all of this has to work together in order for us to continue to document our impact and to move forward and to be successful as an organization. So the chapter program implementation is the biggest gear here because that's really where we have to focus to determine if our chapters are equipped and if they're doing the work that we need them to do, and then to get information back about that. So one of the primary vehicles that we have for this is called EPIC, our Electronic Program Information Center. And I realized recently that EPIC seems to be a very popular term for program information systems. But I think we were one of the first to adopt it. So what is it? It's a repository of program information for 48 state-based March of Dimes chapters. And it includes various types of information. It houses all the strategic mission investment plans with their goals, their objectives, and activities. We also have periodic reporting that chapters go into the system, and it's immediately available for us to see with a variety of responses that they can put in. It houses information about our chapter community grants. We have user permissions. We have administrator permissions at the chapters and at some at the regional level. I mean, at the administrator positions are at the national regional level, and then all of our chapters use it as well. And it is completely custom built. So it's not something that was a package that we were able to go and purchase off the shelf, but it was custom built. So even though it's custom built, like I said, I'm going to focus on kind of the concepts and the lessons that we learned. So no matter what system you might be working with, if you're working with one, I think some of these are transferable to other situations. We have approximately 100 users of this system. So this is our EPIC journey. When I started at the March of Dimes in 2002, we were at a paper-based system. And then once a year, we would receive, when I worked in the chapter at that time, we would receive a CD, and it would have a survey on it, and we would respond to this and send it back to the national office, where it was kind of collated. And so it was a retrospective look at what had been happening in the chapters. And it was decided that it would be desirable to have a system where we could look at things concurrently. And so chapters could do their planning, put it into an electronic system, and it could be tracked throughout the year. And so in 2004, we had the launch of EPIC 1.0. And that sort of moved along for several years without any major revisions until 2008, when we realized that there were some redesign of the interface that would be helpful and make things less confusing. And so we did that. And then up until 2014, when we had a complete redesign. So before I get into what that looked like, just a little bit of how we use the information that's stored in the system. Chapters use it to document their plans and activities, and they also use it for community grants management. Each of our chapters has a budget line specifically for community grants that they give out to other organizations. The regional office, and there are many other uses, these are just some examples. The regional office, their role at the regional office is to consult with chapters and provide technical assistance. So they need to know what's happening in the chapter so that they can determine what areas of technical assistance might exist. And we also use the information in the system to document activities for award nominations. We have what we call Chapter of the Year, and also there are regional awards that chapters can be nominated for. And then, again, at the national office, we aggregate the data and we provide evidence of impact, and also we determine whether chapters are complying with their national priorities and standards. So so in very broad terms, this shows how information was used before the redesign and it continues to be used in this way. So in 2014, as we were planning to implement and roll out the strategic mission investment approach to all of our chapters, we took a look at EPIC and we realized that it was functioning in the way that it was designed, but that the way that it was designed was not going to be meeting our needs much longer as we moved to this new approach. And so we embarked on a search to see if there was another program system that could replace EPIC. And I don't know, I couldn't find anything out there. I mean, you can find commercially based grants management systems, but as far as program planning systems and reporting systems, it seems like many of them are custom built, either by state health departments or by organizations such as ours. So we embarked on a process to address some of the challenges that we saw that were going to be exacerbated, really, with a different approach to planning, okay? So this is not a picture of our process diagram, but any of you who've ever been had any experience with designing information systems, especially across a large geographic area, know that it can possibly feel like that sometimes. And so we needed to really focus on what we needed from the system and when we needed it. We really had a goal to have it be flexible in administration. We did not want to have to run to IT every time we needed a report or any sort of a change. And so we really gathered around our stakeholders and talked to them in various ways about what they wanted the interface to look like, what their data needs were, what their reports should look like. As Kelly mentioned and Tracy, we really wanted to be able to have multi-year plans rather than just an annual system. And then one of the key things, I think, in this whole system or this whole process is that how we describe our work impacts how we design our system and vice versa. If any of you have ever been involved in this kind of work, you know that program people look at things a certain way, and then there's your IT counterparts who are not necessarily going to understand how programs work. And they shouldn't, because that's not their expertise. But we somehow sort of expect that of them, like that they would sort of intuitively know what we need. And that is just, we have to get over that. You have to be able to really describe what your needs are in a way that an IT professional can operationalize them. And it really forced us to really have a lot of conversations and to really examine what the work is and how we need to be able to describe it so that the IT people, and by the way, we are representing our IT person, Marco Pena, who is a saint, and who helped us in ways that we couldn't even have anticipated needing help. So he couldn't be with us today, but I just want a shout out to Marco for that. Okay, so let me just give you an example of this unexpected benefit of how when we were trying to design the system, it really forced us to really look at the work that we do and how we describe it. For instance, one of the sort of broad categories that our chapters are involved in are preconception health, okay? So as we started to get down deeper and deeper into the weeds of designing a system, we had to answer questions like, when we talk about preconception health, does that include interconception health, you know, between pregnancies, or are we talking only about before pregnancy? Does preconception health... And in that conversation, if we're including interconception health, what happens, what does that really entail? There's recurrence prevention, such as 17P for women who've had a prior preterm birth. There's sort of the general education about how to take care of yourself in between pregnancies so that your next pregnancy can be healthier. How do we talk about birth outcomes for a woman who's had poor birth outcomes? Are we talking about professional education? And then does that move us into like policy type and practice issues or elements? One thing in interconception health that people are focusing on now is the use of the postpartum visit and using that and increasing the compliance with the postpartum visit. So all of these things, even as we were designing our system, we had to think about those types of things because it impacted the way we could be collecting information. And in programs like smoking cessation, we think of smoking cessation as sort of a distinct entity, but there are smoking cessation programs for women who are currently pregnant, but wouldn't it be nice if we were talking about helping women stay quit during the interconception period, or, you know, so all of this stuff is sort of, it interplays together, and then when you're trying to document all of that, it looks like that a little bit until you start teasing things out and really getting things down on paper. So another thing that we really wanted in our new system was to be able to provide some context. How did you get to where you were with your goals and your priorities? And so we have, it's an optional section right now that chapters can use. They can print the questions out, use them with their volunteers, or they can document them right into the system of what are the key issues in their communities? What are the underlying drivers of those issues? What are other people doing, and what gaps of information might there be? And what is their potential for impact over the next 3 to 5 years? So that information can be helpful at the chapter level, but also at our level, to kind of look at those things and determine if there's maybe technical assistance issues or other ways that we might be able to help them. So the structure of the plan as we put it into EPIC really reinforces the whole strategic mission investment approach. And one way we did that was that we forced choices. So every plan is limited to 3 core priorities, and every core priority can have up to 2 objectives. That is a real challenge for chapters who are addressing a problem as broad, or not an area as broad as maternal child health. But we really wanted this system to follow our general philosophy. So three priorities, 2 objectives, and then it says unlimited. There is some limit, but they have a broad range of activities that they can document, and we structure them around what we call the 5 P's, which we have borrowed from another program framework that we use a lot. And so this is how every plan is structured in the system. It's kind of hard to capture a visual, if you will, of how the system is, how it works. But this is kind of the first, one of the first entry screens. And so you'll see that for each, the plan itself, the entire plan will have a start date and an end date. And what we've designed into this is that for anything that hasn't, the end date hasn't been occurred yet, it gets moved forward into the next year. So the overall plan, as well as the individual activities and objectives, have start and end dates. So chapters like that the stuff gets moved forward so that they don't have to start all over again, like in an annual cycle. So we have what is their chapter mission goal, and then we have their 3 core priorities. And so if we were to, I don't have all the screenshots, but if we were to move to the next screen, it would pull up first the mission priority, and then they would go into writing their objectives. And so it's sort of intuitive in the way that health planners kind of think, because it starts with the goal, goes to the objective, or the mission priorities, goes to the objectives, and then to the activities. Another way that we, Another way that we sort of organize the information is through the use of purpose categories. And so as we at the national level are trying to aggregate this and talk about this in sort of larger, a broader context, we have these primary purpose categories that are sort of the big chunks of the types of activities that our chapters pursue. And then at the moment, we have 29 topic areas. So this helps us to answer questions about what chapters are doing smoking cessation services in the interconception period or in the prenatal period or the prenatal period or the preconception period. So okay. And then I'm not going to talk a lot about our grants management side, but this is the kind of information that we collect. And it's an attempt to really centralize a lot of information that historically has been kept at the chapter level. You know, obviously, if chapters are giving out grants, they have to keep certain files for audit purposes. And so in the past, we've not really collected that and centralized that information. But now they can upload documents into the system, and they can store the electronic versions of those documents, the grant agreement, reports, different things into the system. And also, we have a lot more information about the objectives of individual grantees. And so we can do some analysis and some recording of those types of things as well. Now this is the part where it is possible to find more commercial products, and so we're always kind of looking around at those to determine if that would meet our needs better. But this is kind of our first step toward getting a lot of that information into the central office, as well as at the regional and chapter office. That way, if people start asking us questions about, you know, certain grants, we don't always have to call the chapter. We can look up some basic information about those things. Okay, so this is kind of the story of our overall our program information center, where we're looking at kind of the broad picture of what chapters are doing in programs. And so I'm going to turn it over now to Kate, who's going to talk about a specific program and the needs that we had around a specific program to help our chapters manage those grants. And so hers is going to be a little bit of a different story than what I have told you. Ooh. Okay.